Welcome to another edition of the Untold Patriots Stories podcast with Scott Prusak and Dave Usher, where you'll hear stories told by the players and media members.
Hey, another Untold Patriots Stories podcast with Scott Prusak, Dave Usher, and myself, Bob Hilberg. Take it away, Scott. Let's get the show on the road.
All right. Well, we talked about this being a loss, and they ended up pulling it out. So, Dave, why don't you kick us off with what your thoughts were for the beginning of the game?
Well, first, I'm going to say the title of this should be "O Ye of Little Faith," because I didn't predict it as the loss.
Yep.
I had a 3-point game, and it was just about that close. But, you know, I got to start factoring in that Nick Folk can't kick anymore. But that being said, you know, it was a good start, you know, especially with considering they had the majority of their secondary out. You know, got the couple of the Jones boys and Mills out, but, you know, luckily we had Jonathan Jones back and Bryant, who I think we'll talk about a little more. I think he played a good game, but, you know, the Dolphins got the ball first. You know, they missed on a long pass to Hill. Jones was D'ing him up on that, Jonathan. And then, you know, the Pats took over and, you know, really had a nice beginning drive. You know, that it's the way I think we've wanted them to come out all year. You know, I looked at this game. I'll tell you, you're trying to pick it up from different points as to max throws, you know, ones that I thought were quality throws and ones that I thought could use some work. And it was about 50-50. But, you know, there was a great pass to Thornton on that first drive. He followed it up with a nice strike to Myers, you know. All in all, I thought the first drive, particularly ending in a touchdown as opposed to, you know, where they usually stall in the red zone, was a great start. What are you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that first drive was, like you said, I think it was the way we wanted to see him. And they kind of, you know, the way the game started out, you talked about that Miami first possession, and there was a fumble that, at the time, they said,
"Oh my goodness! I'm sorry if I skipped that." Yeah, thank you.
you couldn't challenge forward progress. So, I mean, at that point, I'm thinking, you know, here we go again. It's just not going to fall their way. And I guess later, I don't know whether they said it was said that you could challenge that play, but you know, at the time, they were saying you couldn't challenge the forward progress. So that, you know, that was a big turning point. I think that first drive was key, but you know, I hate to say it. You know, after that first drive, they went right back into the issues that they've had all year. You know, so it just seems like we can't get consistency. So you can't have a game where you're moving the ball. I mean, they had that one nice drive, you know, and then it took them a while to get a drive going again.
Yeah, you know what I've seen consistency on, and it happened in that first drive, even though they scored, is they seem to be hiking the ball with 1 second left way too often. You know, and right before they scored that touchdown, they had to call a timeout, down there. And I get that they want to be cautious in that, but you have to see more of that. And I did start, I mean, excuse me, less of that, more of them hiking it with, you know, 5-6 seconds left, like I'm seeing from even the, you know, the third stringer on Miami. So that's something I think they can work on. It. Is it the play calling? Is it getting in time? I don't know, but that's something I think that's been consistently an issue this year.
Yeah, Bob, what are your thoughts?
Well, in the first drive, Miami helped us twice on third down with penalties. So, I mean, you got to take advantage of that, but it's the mental side of Miami, you know, giving it up and then the Patriots taking advantage. But that first time out was kind of, all right, let's take advantage of this. But it kind of surprised you to take a timeout so quickly in the game, but certainly it paid off for them, so.
Yeah, and then Miami had the ball, you know, for the second time. They went for it on fourth down, tried to draw them off sides. They had a punt.
No, they ran into the kicker.
Yeah, that was a real strange sequence. There was three fourth down plays in that series.
yep. And then, you know, he ended up going for it again. Wilson ran for it on a first down, which was a pretty gutsy call. 13-yard pass to Gesicki, Mostert, and then Tyreek Hill had a 2-yard run. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, beginning of the second, we're 7-7 again, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I think, you know, to keep in mind is that as they played a, you know, I guess a mistake-free game for the most part, but we still had to hold on to win against the third-string quarterback, which, you know, is still, that's kind of, you know, kind of alarming. So I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I was, you know, the running into the kicker. What's going on with that? Didn't we learn that mistake earlier in the year, and then we do it again? That was kind of really disillusioning to me, is if that's even a word, disillusioning, disheartening to see that happen again and to give them another chance. Now, football is such a close game, and Miami took advantage of it, you know, and they got the first down. But the special teams, they've had 16 special team penalties this year, which is, you know, almost won a game, you know. So what's up with that?
Yeah, that's, special teams have been rough. I totally agree with you. And those are the stupid plays I'm talking about, the you know, uncharacteristic mistakes that I've mentioned in the past that would, you know, that are the most frustrating.
Yep. You know, Jones again, one of the plays that was kind of questionable was Jones got sacked, lost 9 yards, and I don't know if you guys remember the play, but he was going to the ground and he almost, you know, kind of threw it, which could have been one of those plays where we were saying, what are you thinking?
When Roberts broke through on the third and one, that, honestly, I jotted down, glad he didn't throw it, because he tried to, it looked like Bledsoe in the AFC Championship game, but he never threw the hook shot and pulled it back in. So I actually got to give him a little bit of credit for not throwing it.
And then that knocked him out of field goal range, so that kind of hurt.
Yeah, and then, you know, the following, when the Dolphins got the play after that, there was, you know, that one where, what, they went through six Patriots defenders before.
Yeah, he had that bad tackling on a Mostert 26-yard run. Yep, third and third.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was just ugly. And, you know, I will say, as great as the defense has been this year and had some huge bright spots in this game, you know, they had a few low points in this, and that was certainly one of them.
Yep. And then 3rd and 7, a bad pass to Waddle, and then they settled. They tried a 51-yard field goal and missed that. So I guess that was a stroke of luck for us.
Yeah. And then, you know, we start on the 41, get good field position.
Right.
First thing that happens, Trent Brown, 12th penalty of the season. I mean, that just, like you said, Bob, you know, these things happen almost once a game. That's not a good sign.
Yep.
It takes all the energy out. Here you go. You know, everyone's looking forward. You know, we only need 25 yards for field goal, and then we're set back. And then, you know, we got a couple of incomplete passes, and boom, we're kicking right back to them. You know?
Yep.
And that sequence as well, the first time I really – I don't know whether it was the first time he's in or not, but the first time I noticed Bourne came in. You know, we talked a lot last game about Bourne having an excellent game and, you know, could he follow it up and what were the Pats going to do with him? And to me, that was the first time I've seen it. I saw him in a meaningful play in that game. That's, you know, in the second, about halfway through the second quarter. Right. And that was only because Aguilar got hurt.
Right. Well, it goes into the inconsistency. You know, just what are they thinking? I mean, like you said, he should have been a bigger part of the offense, definitely. And that was a big part of the first half. I mean, They can't get their offense going. They have that first good drive. They can't get their offense going. The defense is on the field longer, you know, which is going to increase the likelihood of a penalty. You know, so then you close out the first half. Miami had 186 yards of offense, and we had 120. Time of possession was 19:28 to 10:32.
And the penalties, and the Pats had 5 penalties. Miami only had 2.
Yep. So it's like, as much as, you know, as they won the game, you know, you're still making the same bad plays. And the punting has been an issue. If somebody can help me with his name, what's the punter's name?
I believe it's not Jake Bailey.
Not Jake Bailey. But, you know, a bad punt. They started out on their 40-yard line to open up, I think, the second half. So, I mean, that was killing them, the punting in that game. So special teams again, we talked about special teams. And then McCourty dropping a very easy INT was another opportunity lost, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's had a couple of those this year, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I think our punter, the net average for our punter is 31 yards in this game. You know, you can't do that with 31.3 yards per net, you know?
Right.
Yeah. The other guy was 45, I think, or something, you know?
And, you know, kind of brings us to, you know, so we're in the third quarter now. And my question is, have we heard Judon or Uche's name yet at this point? You know,
no.
I get that they, you know, they're probably double teaming them and stuff. Although there was a number of plays where I saw Judon dropping back in coverage, which I know you have to be versatile and do different things. But you know, he's getting paid to get the quarterback. And you know, at this point too, at the end of the second quarter, the Lamb, the old lineman, was out. So you figure they want to try and put a little more pressure on them at that point too. And you know, hadn't heard from those guys at that point, which is unusual this year.
Yep.
The other thing that I thought was interesting, if you watch the game on TV, the announcer said, you know, Miami's telling the Patriots right now, we're seeing your menu. You know,
right,
he put it, and you know, we know what you've got. So, you know, are you going to come up with something a little different? And I think that goes back to the basic play calling we've talked about.
Yeah, and they haven't. That's, you know, that's the thing. It's the same old thing. Like I said, they've had a couple of times during the year where they have a nice drive like they did on the first one, and they just can't sustain it. And they're not using the guys like Bourne that, you know, have been successful. So, you know, then Bourne also had on a third and six, had a false start.
That turned into immediately taken out of the game.
Right. So, I mean, you know, we can talk about Bourne too, but when you get out there, you can't make stupid penalties. Right.
Right.
Then I think Folk had a 49 yard attempt. Good for making it 14-10.
Yep.
I mean, Thornton had a nice reception in that, you know, 29 yards and 3rd and 5. So he's starting to show himself a little bit, make up for the couple miscatches that he had earlier in the season. So it was a nice reception.
Yeah, I'll tell you, on that exact play you're talking about, I'm screaming at the TV for Jones to dump it down because he's got a guy open there and he, you know, hits a great pass, you know. So be careful what you wish for.
That's right.
Yep.
And Henry got involved a little bit in that one, too. So, nice 11-yard reception. So, we got to get him more in the game. Because, you know, going into this game, I was hoping it would be a Henry and Bourne game, you know, that you utilize those two guys, big weapons, and certainly Myers would pop in here and there. But, you know, Bourne's been a big player, and he doesn't make a catch until the fourth quarter. So,
yeah,
where were these guys?
And then the big play, obviously, is they had a run on third and 10, false start, made it 3rd and 15. For Miami, and then Dietrich Wise, who had a good game, putting some pressure on the quarterback, you know, a couple of times at least.
Yeah. Uche, first time I heard from him then, too, with Wise.
Yep. And then Duggar had his third pick of the year, returned it for a touchdown, which was the 7th for the team. So
pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we get more touchdowns from our defense than we do from our offense. So,
yeah. And the record all time is 9. Well, 9 interception returns. I think this is 5 interception returns for the Pats.
Yeah.
As far as this goes. But, you know, before that, too, right on in that sequence you're talking about, after the pressure by Wise and Uche, there was a great tackle by Barmore. And I bring that up because he had a nice sack at the end of the first half, too. I think, if we're looking for bright spots, he's back and he's healthy and he's making a difference.
He is, yeah.
And that's when he did the Penguin, right?
Yeah. So that was a riot because I actually go in my head, I said, great sack, terrible dance. And I didn't realize he was making fun of Waddle because they were because they were teammates in college. So he was kind of, I think, it was just a healthy razz to his buddy.
All right. It looks like Pilati is the punter. I finally had it in my
name. Thank you.
So now into the third, going into the fourth, we had the big, the nice interception by Jonathan Jones, who stayed in bounds, made a nice play, right?
Heads up play, yeah. Boom, boom. I mean, he's been a ball hog this year, so he's, you know, balls up in the air. He's grabbing it and getting the feet in, so that was a hell of a play. And even just going back a little bit on that Duggar, I mean, for him to weave through and have that, you know, long reception, I mean, there was a couple times they almost had him, and he just kind of maneuvered through him, so it was pretty exciting to take it all the way to the bank.
You know? Oh, yeah, that was like a Madden run. Yeah, that was.
So then we had an underthrow by underthrow to Thornton. They punted. Pilati averaged under 40, so he had another bad one. Then they stopped him on third down. Miles Bryant had a nice tackle on Tyreek Hill. So
yeah, he's another one who had a good game, you know, stepped up when he needed to.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, it looked like Jones, you know, again, was starting to get in rhythm going into the fourth again. So he started to pick up some momentum there.
He had a real nice throw to Myers, 25-yarder in that mix. That was a nice toss.
On third and five, too. Yeah, big play.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Then it was another one that Thornton should have caught, right?
Yeah, the bobble, yeah.
Yeah, and then Jacoby Myers had the TD catch. And they're saying, so that...
That was pretty, too. It was like almost going up for a rebound. Just going up and get it.
You know? Well, the funny thing is that I don't know if you guys heard, but the thought is, well, what they said in the game was that Jones dissected it. You know, he saw it change the play. And then after the game, one of the coaches said that that's how they drew it up. So, again, we're still having that... the little battle that's going on, you know, who did what and who got the credit for it. And
interesting on a play that it was clearly defensed incorrectly, right? There was no D-back on that side, and Duke Riley, a linebacker, recognized it and was the only one who tried to stop it, but no one else on that side. And like you said, Myers just boxed him out and went up high. He said it wasn't gonna be denied.
Yeah, he definitely showed some height on that one.
Oh, he can dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty nice to see.
Yep. And it was a nail bite until the end, because 4:20 left, Dietrich had a big hit, making it a 3rd and 10. Barrymore sack, Wise pressure, 4th and 16. They tried for it, unsuccessful, and then the Pats got the ball back with 2:39 left. And on 4th and 4, Jones got sacked at the 40, loss of 10. Right.
So let me just touch on that for a second. Right. So that Michael Owenu got beat bad on that. It was a 2-second play. I'm not throwing him under the bus. The reason I bring it up is because to that point, he had played 984 offensive snaps.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
First sack he's given up.
Yeah.
So for the year, he's given up 1 sack, 1 hit, and 0 holding penalties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that stat. It was pretty amazing. I mean, he's had a tremendous, real quiet season, you know, and, you know, with those numbers, there's no reason he should be, you know, in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, you're hoping that, you know, you got 2 or 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left. They just run the clock out. They just can't seem to do that this year, just to kind of bring it down and just end the game, you know?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. It's like I said before, you know, we're talking about, you know, we talked about the stat about the only starting quarterback that they beat. And then, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is an adequate backup, right? So then he gets, sure. he gets hurt and you're just barely holding on. I mean, he hit him with a touchdown with 104 left and it's a 2-point game all of a sudden, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's like we even have to hold on with a third string quarterback till the very end and eke out a win. So
I would like to say too, back at, you know, when it was 3rd and 2 with, you know, just over 2 minutes left, the crowd was really loud. It was the first time I can remember in a while that they were loud outside of booing maybe for this year. So that was nice to see. And that was a nice scramble that they had for that touchdown. I got to give them credit. And again, that was against the practice squad guy, you know, Hayes. So he had a couple of plays, but, you know, he can't do everything.
Yeah, I mean, just overall remarks about the game. I mean, Jones made the plays when they really needed him. I mean, you could say that for the game. But the consistent things that they're struggling with is guys getting open, the line. Mac had a couple of great throws to Myers and the touchdown to Tyquan Thornton. Offense continues to struggle. Defense makes plays. I think that's four games in a row where they've had a defensive touchdown, and the last team to do that was the Buccaneers when they had that great defense. Their seventh defensive TD, that's a team record. So, I mean, there's some good things to point to, but again, you know, it's a game that we probably shouldn't have been 23-21 at the end of the game, you know?
Right.
And it's that really just falls on the inconsistency of the offense. You know, the play calling, you know, Bourne not being in there. It's just, you know, again, it's the same stuff, you know, over and over again. So now we're looking at Buffalo, and, you know,
going to be an emotional game, you know, yeah. With what happened, with the medical scare in the game. So this might be a good time to kind of throw out your thoughts about what happened in that Bengals-Bills game.
Yeah, as we were talking beforehand, I was saying, you know, there's not a lot of information out there. So I'm kind of challenged to what to say. But, you know, certainly my thoughts and prayers go out to DeMar and his family. It was just even when there was nothing going on the TV, I couldn't look away. You know, right. They weren't saying anything different. It was just such a bizarre scenario. And, you know, they were saying things like, you know, this hasn't happened before. To an extent, it has. I mean, the Bills had someone, you know, probably 10 years ago that they saved his life by putting him on ice after a neck injury
or something.
Yeah, spinal injury. You know, we looked at Ryan Shazier a few years back, right. You know, in our history, you know, Daryl Stingley. And, you know, but I guess the difference is it wasn't life-threatening. And this absolutely seemed to be life-threatening. I've never seen the look on people's faces. I think Josh Allen holding his, you know, face and his eyes bugging out pretty much said it all. And if that wasn't it, Diggs just, you know, crying like a baby. And you know, I'm not – no disrespect to these guys. It was absolutely appropriate what they were feeling out there. But just an – I don't even know how to – bizarre circumstance.
Yeah. What I was going to add to that is that I think the thing that's different is, you know, they've talked about it quite a bit today, is all the teammates were on the field, and you could tell something was the matter because every single player on both teams kind of formed a circle around them so that the TVs couldn't get close to seeing what was going on. And I think the other thing is that, you know, the whole thing of, I mean, think about what it must have been like to have them giving them CPR and having to use – they had to use the paddles. So, I mean, the guys are watching this happen. I mean, think of how traumatic it is. I don't think anything like that's ever happened, you know, on the field, you know, during the game. So you could see it in their faces. You could see it, you know, it was just really weird, you know, seeing a stadium that was quiet and – everybody struggling for something to say, whether it was, you know, the Monday night countdown crew or, you know, the guys announcing the game, or they would throw it back, you know, to the ESPN studio. And, you know, you could hear it in the emotion to the people talking. They didn't, like I said, they didn't know what to say because, you know, it never happened before. But imagine, you know, being a player, you know, watching them use the paddles and you know, CPR, you know, to the player on the field. So the only thing I would say, you know, and this is something that, you know, the NFL stands for, you know, says, oh, we care about the players. We care about the players. And that's, you know, they'll throw that out there. And I guess the only thing I would say is I have two issues that happened last night. The first one would be, you know, it taking almost a little over an hour to call the game when it probably should have just been called right from the very beginning when they knew what was going on. I mean, because it was serious from the beginning. You can tell right. them when the trainers are running on the field. Right. So why it took an hour to make that call? I mean, to me, that's a black eye on the NFL. The second thing was that I have to give the coaches a lot of credit, because if it wasn't for them, the instruction was take a 5-minute, you know, warm up. And then we're going to get the game going again. And if the way it happened, the way I saw it, and you guys can tell me if it was different, The coach from the Bills went over to the coach for Cincinnati, and they had a talk. And I think, or it could, I don't know whether who, I don't know who.
I think it was the Cincinnati coach that went to the Bills, but
What shows you, you know, how much of a situation that was. Then they have the conversation and they decide to pull the players off the field.
Well, I think, you know, you say it took them an hour to call it. I don't think the NFL called it at all. I think the teams did. I think they refused to play.
Well,
what I meant by
that was the statement by the NFL saying that the game was going to be, you know.
But I think you're absolutely right. It should have happened much earlier, but I think they took it out of their hands. I think, not to make light of the situation, but I think one of the most interesting parts of this was the sideline reporter there said, you know, we're not getting any interviews. We don't know what's going on. Then she goes, I think the game's going to be called because I just saw Stephon Diggs come out here in a towel. And that was that was the most telling piece of information, is that the players were starting to do it, you know, on their own well before the NFL's had anything to say about it.
Yes. Bob, what do you have?
So what I'm thinking of is from the medical standpoint. I mean, if you go back, you know, Bledsoe, when he got hit by Mo Lewis, from the story that I heard is there was a doctor watching the game, and he was a specialist at Mass General. And he realized that Bledsoe got hit underneath the padding that, you know, that covers his chest. And he would, as soon as he saw that on TV, he just went right to Mass General. And even though Bledsoe went back in the game and they took him out, this doctor went to Mass General. And by the time Bledsoe got to Mass General, the doctor was ready to do the surgery. So in 20 years now, that you know, Mass General is, you know, a good 45 minutes probably to get from Foxborough. Now we have a hospital right there in Foxborough. And all the doctors that I've seen, it's like if they didn't get on the field within like 2 minutes and do the CPR or 5 minutes, whatever it is, and do the paddling, the medical technology nowadays and the expertise of these guys doing the training to save these guys and hopefully save this guy's life and is something that just is amazing what they do. Let's hope this guy is all right. So, you know, prayers and thoughts for everyone out there that helped, you know, put this guy and get him into one of the more specialized critical heart places in the country too, I guess, in Cincinnati too. So where he's getting his care is exceptional too. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the other thing I think you saw too on the telecast was, and I don't know if this resonated with you guys, but everybody that was talking about it, was their biggest thing was, you know what? I don't want to talk about anything else. I don't want to talk about football. I don't want to talk about the game. I don't want to talk about being rescheduled. The thing I want to talk about, the thing we want to talk about is that the most important thing right now is the player. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters right now. And that's, I guess, what is the frustrating thing about the NFL, because they try so hard to sell a message. You know, and like I said, it should have been immediate when they knew that it was paddle CPR. It should have been, all right, guys, you know, fans go home. I mean, because then you get fans sitting there for an hour, you know, not knowing what's going on. It should have been right there. You know what? Let's pack it up. You know, we'll make a decision on how we're going to, you know, do whatever we're going to do in the future. But right now, you know, this is life. This isn't football. This is somebody, you know, that's fighting for their life right now.
I'm sorry, Scott. You talk about the fans and, you know, just some of the classy things that I heard in both Bills and Cincinnati fans left the stadium, went to the hospital, went outside and kind of held a vigil for him for a bit. And then also he's got a children's charity that more than $1 million has gone into donations since this happened to him, into his charity. So there, you know, there's definitely the fans anyway, were certainly caring about the player regardless of team affiliation and all that, which was fantastic to see.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So now we got an emotional game coming up against them. I mean, this is kind of tough for everyone to kind of gear up. You got a couple days to do that, but I guess the game with us is on, and who knows, you know, whether or not they're even going to play this game.
That's interesting. They're talking about, you know, not playing this, replaying the Cincinnati game and then potentially forfeiting this game to get them set for the playoffs because they're locked in. But what does that mean for the, you know, that gets the Pats in, but you know, what's that mean for the other folks? So it's unprecedented. It's really amazing to see what happens.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I really don't know, you know, it's going to take some thinking to get around it, but you know, it's definitely, it was something that was, if you were watching it, it was very surreal. Just very, very, very heavy.
Chilling, they call it, that's what one of Adam Schefter said. Chilling is a good word. Yeah.
And like you said, Dave, you know, I had woken up and I hadn't seen the play, but I just saw the, you know, like they kept cutting away and coming back. And, you know, Susie Colbert, I think it sounded like she was going to ball at any minute. Booger McFarlane was,
he was
aggravated. He was aggravated. Yeah. You know, he wouldn't even look up. I don't know if you guys saw it, he wouldn't even look up at the TV.
Didn't know what to say. Yeah.
Well, no, not only that, but he was aggravated about just, this isn't, you know, this game isn't important. Just call it. It's somebody's life.
Yeah. I've not been a fan of his as an announcer, but you could see that was him, the person, and I am 100% behind him with how he was.
That was raw. Yeah. Real. Yeah.
Yep. So, all right. Well, we got at least one more game right now. We'll wait and see what happens about, you know, the playoffs and stuff, but hopefully we can recap a playoff game. So I at this point, like, I think we would usually do predictions, but I don't even think this is a game I want to make a prediction for.
No, just
out of respect for him.
I picked the Pats last week, so I'm like George Costanza. I'm walking out of the room when I'm up high.
Yeah.
Yep. So, all right, guys. Well, that's our third game recap, and we got one more to go, and hopefully more, but we'll see what happens. So thank you guys for hopping on, and we will talk after next week's game.
Go Pats.
Get it. Go Pats.
Thanks for listening to Untold Patriot Stories with Scott Prusak and Dave Usher. Please follow us on whatever platform you download your podcasts, and be sure to tell your friends.